Shall we now turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 6? Genesis, chapter 6. I'm going to read for you a few verses from verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. That the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves whomever they chose. And the title I've given this evening is Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. The sons of God, are they demons or are they men, the saints? Well, verse 3, let us continue with verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, there are Christians that believe that the sons of God mentioned here are the fallen angels. They believe that these are the demons. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And further down, they read, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. The emphasis laid by some believers is that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And as a result of this act, the women produced giants. And as a result of this, mankind became corrupt. And as a result of this, God destroyed the earth. Now, in itself, it sounds sensational. Wow, angels, the fallen angels, the demons, having sex with earthly women and producing giants. Fiction or facts? There are lots of things to be considered in these verses before we believe that the sons of God mentioned here was a reference to the angels. Those that believe that these were angels, they believe that these are fallen angels, that is demons, evil angels. Now look, it not only says that these sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bore children to them, but first of all it says that they were attracted towards the daughters of men. Verse 2, they saw the daughters of men that they were fair, beautiful. So the sons of God were attracted toward the daughters of men. A distinction is made between the sons of God and the daughters of men. These sons of God found the daughters of men to be fair, beautiful. It is to be noted that the first 12 chapters or the first 15 chapters of Genesis are very important. In it are found the major biblical doctrines. Why is the Bible telling us that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair or they were beautiful? Who are these sons of God? The general rule is that the scripture explains scripture. Now, if the fallen angels found the degenerate women beautiful, how much more will they find Eve to be beautiful, and the first daughters of Adam and Eve? Would not Satan himself be drawn to lust after Eve and her daughters? In fact, some even believe that the first sin was a sin of sex, that Satan tempted Eve and went into her. But if this be the case, how could the Bible tell us in chapter 4 of Genesis and verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Eve, who bore her first son, says that she has got a man from the Lord. The Bible nowhere tells us that Satan or the demons entered Eve and that she bore children of the demons. No, the Bible tells us that Adam knew Eve, meaning Adam had intercourse with Eve, his wife, and the child she got, Cain, she said, "I have got this child, this man, from the Lord." You'll remember that God calls Israel, this whole nation, his son. Exodus chapter 4 verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." In prophet Isaiah, God calls them my children. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." When Eve conceived again and she bore a son, again we are told that Eve said, "God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." So again Eve is acknowledging that it is the man that has been given again instead of Abel has come from the Lord. So children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127 verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are from God, not from the demons. To believe that demons can make a woman conceive and bear children is a very dangerous belief. So there's a reason why Genesis 6 uses the term the sons of God. Cain departed from God and followed after his own heart. He killed Abel, the righteous man who walked according to the will of God. God was pleased with Abel and not with Cain. It is then recorded for us the genealogy of Cain. We find this in chapter 4. The descendants of Cain are described as very worldly and sinful. Very early on, one of Cain's great-grandson broke the command of marriage, which was supposed to be between one man and one wife. He got himself married to two wives. Look at Genesis chapter 4 verse 19. "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah." We are also told that this group of people are very innovative. They brought in new methods and new ideas. Like Cain, they are using their own mind. Genesis chapter 4 verse 20. "And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle." Now think about this. To make tents, you will need skin. So Jabal must have begun to slaughter animals to make tents out of their skins. Surely then they began to eat, probably animal meat. God had given every herb and fruits of the tree for food, even to the animals. God gave herbs and fruits for food. And the blood of the animal had life. And this life was to be shared to repair the broken relationship between God and man. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Lord had given this law to Adam and Eve. But there is a new thinking on the earth now. Eat the animals, even drink their blood, and use the skins for tent. There was now a departure from God's commands. A new culture is now being formed. Cain rebelled against God, for he brought to offer God from what he had produced. He wanted to show God what he can give. Culture, dear friend, is formed according to one's character. A rebellious character brings culture that exalts one's own self and not God. Whatever you do it for your own glory, for your pleasure. So character builds culture, and culture reveals character. Now the second person to note in the line of Cain is Jubal. Jubal was the brother of Jabal. Genesis chapter 4 verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. So he invented musical instruments. And this was the beginning of entertainment and entertainment industry. See, sin came in and the joy of the soul was taken away. It had to be replaced with something else. And the line of Cain invented musical instruments to replace that joy, that inner joy, which now comes from outside. Moving ahead, we are told that Tubal-Cain was the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And here began the metal craftsman's industry. So, who wants God? We can manage. The ground is hard due to sin, due to the curse. A man is saying, we can fix it. Invent a plow, and then a bulldozer, and a mechanical plow. We sweat by the brow. Put in air condition in the office and in the car. It began with the descendants of Cain, and we have been fixing this curse for thousands of years, especially so in the last 60 years. Disease, sickness, we are fixing that too. Death, we are fixing or trying to fix that too. Who needs God? Cain felt that it is not necessary to come to God by shedding the innocent blood of an animal for his sins. He came to God with the fruit of his labor, something that he had grown and labored for. He wanted to show that he is able to feed himself. And his offering was rejected by God. Mankind had begun to make themselves gods. Did not Satan say, you shall be like gods? And then comes the mockery of grace. Lamech, he already broke the command of God by marrying two wives. Now he kills a young man and he knows that it will badly affect him. But he demands, saying, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Chapter 4 verse 23 and 24. And he argued, since God said that he will protect Cain from others harming him, he says God should protect him for unlimited times, unlimited. He's twisting the hand of God and demanding protection of God from others. And this is taking advantage of God's grace. He is breaking the law of God and yet expect God to protect him. And we do this till today. Last week, a young man visited us and he was telling us that his friend, a girl, not his own girlfriend, but a friend of his, aborted 3 babies. And now she is married and she wants a baby, but she's not getting one. She now blames God. So, this has been the line of Cain. Are they godly? Do they sound like God's children? No. Could God call them his children? Could God call them his sons? No, he could not. However, the Bible records for us another line of people. There is another group of people. Chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Now look at this verse, the end of it. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now here is a line of people that are belonging to follow, who want to follow God and his command. They began to call on the name of the Lord. They knew who God is and they honored him. And in chapter 5 we are given the genealogy of Adam, but this time beginning with the son Seth. Eve acknowledges that this child was given by God in place of Abel. Abel was a righteous man, accepted by God. And this line now began to call on the name of the Lord. No sin is mentioned of this line. It was a godly line. In fact, we are told of one of the man called Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. In 5 verse 24. He was raptured, taken up without tasting death. And then we are told about the great Methuselah, who lived up to 969 years. And finally, Noah, the righteous man. But as Methuselah and Noah lived, something was happening even among this godly line. Remember, Methuselah lived 969 years. That is almost 1,000 years. So chapter 6 tells us, from verse 1, let us read. And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So, who are these sons of God that saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful, and they took them wives of all which they chose? It is obvious that these are the sons of the godly people, the descendants of Seth, who began to call on the name of God and began to honor God. They would not marry the ungodly line of Cain. They would separate themselves. They had separated themselves from these ungodly, degenerate, hedonistic, depraved people. So the principles of separation was followed by this godly line of Seth. You remember well, God told the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 34 and in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 to 6. I will read for you from Deuteronomy 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations, these are now unbelievers, heathens. When you have cast out these nations, the Hittite and the Girgashite and the Amorite and the Canaanites and the Perizzite and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mighty than thou, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee. Now look what the Lord says. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, or his daughter shall not take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. As a result of mixing and having union, the godly with the ungodly, what will the Lord do? The Lord will destroy thee suddenly. Verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You see that? Principle of separation was to be applied when the people of God delivered from Egypt, brought into Canaan, they were not to mix, not to marry. They were to remain separated. Again in Ezra chapter 10, verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have been unfaithful by marrying foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Therefore, make a confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourself from the surrounding peoples and your foreign wives. Then all the assembly responded with a loud voice, yes, we will do as you say. Well, coming to the New Testament, Paul instructs Christians in Corinth. In chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath unrighteousness with righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out of them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is what is happening in Genesis chapter 6. The godly line of Seth are now attracted towards the worldly women. They took them for wives. They bore children to them. What did the sons of God do? They took the daughters of men. These broke the separation and became one with the ungodly people. Degeneration has slowly set in among the children of God. The men of the world had become totally corrupt And the pressure was building up for the children of the godly to be swayed by these men and women. And so the children of the godly line, being attracted towards these women, they take them as wives, and they bore children to them. To take them for wives mean to marry, isn't it? As we said earlier, some Christians believe that these sons of God are angels, the fallen angels. Does this mean that these demons married these women? And to have children mean that they lived a family life. So, does this mean that these angels, fallen angels, demons, were in continuous habitation among men, forming a family unit? To have a person as wife means to marry. To marry a person means to cohabit together and have family and carry the responsibility of caring for the children. Verse 4. That is Genesis chapter 6 verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. Well, if you believe that these were angels, this would mean that the angels, the fallen angels, married the women of the earth, lived with them, had children, and built a family. This would mean that the demons continually lived in the midst of this society as fathers. If demons married the daughters of men, what did the rest of the men do? What did they do? Here are demons marrying women, having them as their wives, having children and forming a family. Will not the men suddenly ask the question, from where did these men come from and got married to their daughters, their sisters? This means these demons must appear as men. The question will be, where did they come from? And the question would arise, what did the rest of the men do? Were they left without any women to marry? Now, this being so, the next theological question would be, do angels, whether they be fallen or clean, has God designed them to procreate? Do they have body, organs, and sperms like men? God has revealed that they are spirits. Spirits don't have body parts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 44, we are told there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And Jesus has clearly revealed that in heaven there is no marriage. Those that are in heaven are as the angels of God, Jesus said. And being angels mean they do not have sexual organs. They do not have sperms and cannot procreate. They may have the desire to do so, but God has not given them the ability to marry and procreate. They can possess and influence mankind. And during the time of Jesus, there were men and women that were possessed. The Lord would have revealed to us that these demons possessed women, Jesus would have revealed that these demons possessed women and made them pregnant. This interpretation of Son of God as demons making babies is sensationalism. It is fiction, not facts. God has not given the angels, which are spirit, the ability to procreate. And some would respond saying, but God's Spirit worked on the Virgin Mary, and we have the birth of Jesus Christ, the man. But this is God. With God, all things are possible. Satan and the demons cannot. If this was the case, they would do this even today. But because they cannot procreate, they influence men and women to offer children as sacrifice. And they influence men to abort children. They cannot marry, and so they destroy marriages. And this is why Satan demands children's sacrifice. And this is why nations have come under the spell of Satan and have made abortion legal. And this is why Satan hates marriages, and marriages are destroyed. Now, before we come to the end of our message, let us look at this point in the scripture. God says in verse 5 of chapter 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." If you take the sons of God mentioned in chapter 6 to be angels, the bad angels, then the wickedness of man would be because of these angels. The wickedness on earth would be because of the giants. If men are not involved in this wickedness, why destroy all mankind? If it is the demon that came by force to seduce the daughters of men and marry them and have children by them, why was only one man, Noah, that found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, God says in verse 12 and 13, or let's start with 11, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Well, the case should have been against the demons, the fallen angels, and the daughters of men. But God is pointing his finger to all men, to man in particular. And from all the men of the earth, God found only one man, Noah, to be a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Oh, dear friends, it is clearly seen here that the case is against the sins of men. It began with Adam, and then the whole line of Cain's descendants. And now a terrible thing has happened. Even the godly line has gone corrupt and have become one with the ungodly, depraved people of the earth. Therefore the Lord says, they are all become flesh, and my spirit shall not dwell with them. A day is soon to come when the Spirit of God will not remain on this earth. One last time, and the Lord will destroy all the whole earth. Now, can we find a parallel to this kind of scenario, where all the men in the region are gone corrupt, and only one man is found to be just, where not demons are not involved? Yes. Take the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim. Among all these cities, there was only one man that was just, and that was Lot. God destroyed the rest of them and saved only Lot and his two daughters. No mention of fallen angels, no mention of demons over here. So the real issue in Genesis chapter 6 is not about the fallen angels, but about mixed marriages between the godly and the ungodly. The mixing of the pure with the unpure. Those who believed in God with those who did not believe in God. The ungodly world, even now, is trying to make us all one in this present time. Beware, people of God. Do not become one with their ideas and innovation and ungodly beliefs. And then we have Jerusalem itself. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Look what the prophet is saying, or what the Lord is saying about Jerusalem. How is the faithful city become an harlot? Faithful city, They were children of God, but now they have become harlot. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious, and company, companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doeth the cause of the widow come unto them. God destroyed Jerusalem. It was sent into captivity. Then finally, Jesus declared that not one stone shall remain, even of the temple. The church, Christians are facing this terrible evil of mixing with the world right now. The church mourns, saying, look how great the world has become. And look at us. We are not like Hollywood. We are not like the political system of the world. Look at our women. Look at their women. Or look at our women. Our women are so simple, caring for the family, bound in the house. Look at their women. Shapely, revealing, working, growing strong in body and mind. Look at their position. Their women have become even prime ministers and presidents. Look at their scientific knowledge and technology. Look at their men growing in power, carrying hundreds of kilograms in weight. Look at us. Look at their speed. Look at us. They are saying we are backward. We are not progressive. Look at the world, how progressive it has become. You see? And the church is trying to imitate the world more and more and become one with the world. Together, they are forming into a great giant. Genesis chapter 6 verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. Oh dear friends, I want to end here, but God willing, we will look into this maybe next week. But look at Christ. Christ, on the other hand, although he was God, equal to God, he did not count equality a thing to be held into, to be grasped, to be pulled onto himself and show himself the might and power. But he emptied himself and he humbled himself and became a servant even to the point of death. He became obedient to his Father, came under the authority and rule of his Father. He did not follow after the mind of the world, after the mind of the giants. He came to form a people after his own mind, that we may have faith like his in his Father. Well, God willing, as I said, we shall look more into this topic of giants the next week. But for now, come out of this giant. Don't be swallowed by it. The end for this giant, for this renowned world, is only hellfire and eternal destruction. So seek to enter into the godly line of Abel through the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom is forgiveness and eternal life. Shall we pray?